And I pray, Father, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my refuge. Amen. With trumpets and the sound of horn, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. We are getting a description of something amazing here. We are getting a description in Psalm 98 of praise befitting of a king. Now we'll go into the definition of exactly what the psalmist meant when he said king, because it's what you think and it's also so much more. But here we have this descriptive praise that's enthroning God as our Lord, our King, the one that we revere, the one that we say, yes, you rule over us. You see, there are a lot of people that we have come to revere in our political system. But there's none that we say, you are Lord over us. We may like or dislike particular people in office. We may like certain administrations better than others. That's all fine and well. But you know what? Even the people that you like most, whomever they may be, whatever side of the aisle they sit on, they will never, ever be enthroned as our King, our Lord. The mountains and the rivers and the trees will never cry out to them that you our King. No, the only one that they cry out to is firmly in heaven. With trumpets, with the sound of horn, make a joyful noise before the King. We talked about this last week. Our worship should have times of loud expression. Our worship should have times of reverent, humble, quiet. Because God is a God of all of that and so much more. So much more. So here's the invitation I believe that Psalm 98 is giving to you and to me. We are called to join the worship of our Creator and our Savior God. We, His people, of all the people on the earth, I believe that extends to everybody, but especially to the children of God. If you call yourself a child of God, if you have confessed Christ as Savior, there is, if you will, a duty, an obligation to ascribe worth to the Lord. So we're going to look at this and see how the psalmist encourages us to do that today. You see, because I believe that the psalmist is calling us to be active worshipers. Active worshipers. Not passive, not simply attenders of a service, not simply observing nature. We are called to be active worshipers through singing, through joyous shouting, through resounding with nature's praise. Nature is already crying out in glory to God. Want to join? Nature is already clapping its hands to the Lord. You want in on that today? Nature is already screaming to the glory of God. And we get a part of that today. Our worship service is designed, prayed over, to be that for us, an expression back to our King, our Lord. So the psalmist is calling us, be active worshipers through singing, through joyous shouting, with resounding with nature's praise. If you get loud in a service every once in a while, it's okay. Hey, students that went to Kansas City, did it ever get loud in your worship times? Come on now. Yeah, I'm just guessing it pushed the decibel level a little bit. That's okay. When we gather together, there's power in all of us collectively joining voice together. There's amazing power when we lift up our expression of worship. It should resound in our hearts. It should be even more so than what we can do on an individual level. Yes, I can go out throughout the week, and I should go out throughout the week singing praises to God, but there's something amazingly powerful when on Sunday morning there's 200 people here present doing that. There's something absolutely amazing. We are all called as part of the family of God to worship our Creator and our Savior. Now, he uses the term king in this psalm. King. Verse 6, with trumpet and the sound of loud horn, make a joyful noise before the king, the Lord of lords. Well, the simple definition of king is the ruler of the land. And when we look at this, especially in the Old Testament, we think of, okay, the ruler of Israel. And we get a little confused. It's hard in our modern society because since 1948, Israel has been an actual country. So there's the geographical Israel, but there's also the people of Israel. This is talking about people, Israel, the ruler of the land. Yes, they dwell in a land that God gave them, and God rules over that. But God is saying, I am Lord over all governing authorities. I'm ruler over all the land. And there is also this link to the Davidic king under divine protection. There is a promise of God that this line, this kingship of David, is going to extend and protect his people. It's a title for the one true God of Israel. This is something far more than just a political ruler. We are not worshiping a political ruler. We are not ascribing worth to a political ruler. We are ascribing worth, honor, glory due to the one who chose us, redeemed us, and loves us. That's where our praise goes, to that king alone. So I want to look at three points that the psalmist makes that engage us in this invitation to worship. Our first is this: our God has made known who he is and his plan for salvation. How many of you grew up going to a church? It's okay if you did or if you didn't. It doesn't really matter. For those that did, you know, like I did, I went to church, man. I may have all of you beat. I think I went every Sunday, and man, I did it all. I did absolutely everything that you were supposed to do as a good boy. And I'm not going to reveal what church I went to or denomination or anything like that, but suffice it to say, if it was required, I did it. However, just because I went to church, just because there was some good activity that I was involved in, didn't mean that I knew what salvation was all about. You see, you can be a good person and be in this congregation, and you're always welcome at New Hope Church. We're so glad you're here today. But just because you're here today does not mean that you actually know what a saving relationship with Jesus Christ is all about. And so the psalmist here is getting at this amazing thing of the salvation of God. And so there is obviously the Old Testament implication of this, but we as believers in Jesus Christ, we know what the full outcome of this is because we have the complete written word of God. It is complete in all of its authority, and it's there to teach us. And God is not a God who is hidden and back and saying, you know, I really hope that they figure it out. I hope someday that I hope they figure it out that I'm a God of love and grace. I hope they get it. I hope they figure it out that, you know what, I gave them my son. I hope they figure it out. No, he did not do that. He gave us this wonderful, beautiful, complete book, inerrant in its original languages. Why? So that you and I would understand who he is, the amazing and profound love that he has for us, the grace that's available in his son Jesus, and so that we would know his plan for salvation. God wants you to know that. God wants you to actually respond to that. So the psalmist says, oh, sing a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand, his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. God has made it known. This is an amazing thing. See, there's a reason why we do what we do here in the worship service. This is not guilt or obligation. It's not to simply check by your name like I used to. I went to church today, give me a gold star. I'm all good. I can go out and live like a pagan the rest of the week, but I at least went to church on Sunday morning. No, it's not for that. See, the reason we sing songs, the reason that we come, the reason we offer an expression to God, the reason why we actually open our hearts and our minds to teaching from His Word is because there is salvation. The reason that we sing a song is because we are responding to this beautiful relationship that we have with God. The reason for singing a new song is the salvation of the Lord. And everyone, the psalmist says, is going to see it. Everyone is going to see this thing of salvation. Everyone is going to see and hear of what's going on. Oh, but that assumes that you and I are engaged in worship in far more than just this setting. Because see, when people see us worshiping out there, glorifying Him, when people see us, they know, you know, there is something way different. Everyone will see it if we're actually living it out. If we're actually living it out. Scripture, I love, confirms Scripture. There's many places that Scripture says very similar things, and it confirms itself. Want to know why Scripture says what it says, or you want to prove that Scripture's right? Go to Scripture. If the Word of God is inerrant, which I believe it firmly is, then Scripture should be able to affirm Scripture. See, in the book of Isaiah 52:10, it says, "The Lord has bared His holy arm before the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." All the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. What about the Aborigine in Australia? Hang on to that question for a moment. What about the guy in the jungle of the Amazon? Hang on to that question for a moment. Hang on to that. You know, according to this text, according to our text today in Psalm 98, everyone is going to see the salvation of our God. And what should that do to you and to me as God's people? Well, there should be a response. It should evoke something more than just a warm feeling. You see, when we actually recall what God has done in our lives through salvation, when we think of that hymn, "Amazing Grace That Saved a Wretch Like Me," when we just ponder for a moment the wretchedness that we were prior to Christ, and then we think of the amazing gift of grace through Jesus Christ, it should evoke something in us, a response in us that's amazing. It should evoke praise. And that's what the psalmist is getting at here. Recalling God's salvation should always evoke praise in His people. Always. Recalling salvation should evoke praise in all of His people. This is why I love baptism services. This is why I love the membership class. This is why I enjoy people sharing their testimony. Why? I'm not looking to hear the dirty laundry of your life. No, but I want to hear the redemptive power of God. I was this. I am now this. That is amazing. We need to revisit that. We recall a time prior to conversion, when we were not following God. And we testify to how God has changed us powerfully through the power of the Holy Spirit because of the redemption of Jesus Christ. And we are now empowered by the Holy Spirit. Recalling salvation, remembering who we were prior to conversion, all that God has done to secure our redemption and reconciliation. Well, it's beautiful, isn't it? It's amazing. It should bring tears to our eyes. It should cause us to pause and to worship. Recalling salvation should compel us to share it with others. Think of all God has done in your life. Think of the wretch that you were, that I was, prior to conversion. And think, if He can save a wretch like me, How many people could he save in our community this week? That neighbor that seems really, I'm all good. That family member that just, they don't want to talk about it. Can the redemptive power of God reach into their heart? You know it can. You know it can. Let me paint a picture of what's happening in heaven right now. The angels and the heavenly hosts are praising God and worshiping Jesus Christ right now. It's currently happening. Their praise and their worship include people from, and at the end of time, definitely will have every nation, every tribe, every language. Their worship recalls the salvation of God. Here's a glimpse of what's going to happen in eternity. Revelation 7, 9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes, from peoples and languages, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne, and all the elders of the four living creatures, and they fell on their face before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever." Does that sound like something you want in on? I do. That should get us excited. We, the people of God, get to participate in this. We, the redeemed of God, have been made known his plan of salvation. We've responded to this beautiful invitation of, will you receive Jesus as your Savior? And we get to, for the rest of eternity, worship him. God has made his plan known for salvation clearly to all people. This is a cause for worship. God has made his plan of salvation known clearly. Will you go and share it with others this week? Will you be a part of what's going on in heaven? So I asked about that person in the bush of Australia. I asked about that tribal person in Africa. I asked about those that the common objection. What about? The psalmist is very clear. God has made his salvation known. And if there aren't people there to share, nature does. Nature cries out and testifies to the existence of God. Nature cries out and testifies to the deity of our God. Nature cries out. What about that person? I'd encourage you, if you've got a heart for them, go tell them. Our next point, praise to God is not dependent upon our circumstances. Oh, guess what? I can be a little fickle about my praise. If I'm honest with you, when finances are good, when problems are few, when my health is good, when I've got the stuff that I want, it's easy to praise God, isn't it? But what a tenuous little apple cart that I have assembled. Man, you breathe on that a little bit heavy, and it can knock over real easy. You know, you take away some of those things of health. You take away some of the stuff that I want. You take away some of the luxuries that we enjoy, and can you still praise God? That's where it gets tough. We sang a song, "I Will Exalt You." And you know what? Sometimes we just have to tell ourselves, I will do this. I will be obedient to the command to praise God, whether I feel it internally or not. Sometimes it is tough. You know, Sometimes it is tough to praise God, but our praise is not dependent upon our circumstances. When you look at verses 4 through 6 of this psalm, make a joyful noise to the earth, all the earth, break forth in joyous praise, song, and singing praise. Sing praise to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with the trumpet and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise to the King, the Lord. You look at that section, and we're called to praise, shouting praise, singing praise to our Lord. We're to make music with many instruments. That's why oftentimes we have a variety of stuff up here. This is intentional worship. This is purposeful praise with a focus and a direction to Him. But notice this particular section, it's devoid of the why. Earlier in the psalm, we're called upon to sing a new song because God has worked powerfully His salvation. And we should, as we remember, as I mentioned earlier, as we remember salvation, it should evoke praise. But in verses 4 through 6, there's actually no reason given for this praise. Some people think that it relates to the salvation mentioned earlier, and while I'm sure this has some truth, verses 4 through 6 actually form a kind of a section of its own. And no reason is given. No specific why to the praise is there. It just is. We do it because that's what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to praise God. It's a response of the earth and God's people. So, have you let circumstances get in the way of your worship? I certainly do. I'm just going to confess. Not every week do I come with this heart that this is just amazing, ready to outflow. Oh, God, you're so wonderful, and I'm so ready. And it's easy to let life's circumstances, life's problems, life's pains, which are real, and I'm not here to minimize. It's easy to let those dictate what we're supposed to do. That's why I need this reminder out of Psalm 98. You know, life's problems, pressures, job demands, financial crisis, health, family, many other reasons are going to try and push you away from doing what we're called to do. Fight hard to give an offering of praise anyways. You see, all the people of the earth are called upon to join the joyous song of nature in praise to the one true God, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of our season of life. That's tough to do, isn't it? There are circumstances, there are seasons of life that, if you're honest, are really, they're the dark nights of your soul. Guess what? Your psalms are coming up the next 2 weeks. They're called the imprecatory psalms. Warning, we're going to get really deep, really real the next 2 weeks. There's a major shift. As we've been going through the emotions of Psalms, this week we're on high praise. Next week, it's about as low in the valley as you can possibly get. That's okay. Our circumstances, though, as we go to the imprecatory Psalms next week, remember, our circumstances don't dictate our praise. The psalmist says, make a joyful noise. What does it mean to make a joyful noise? Does it mean to just sing loudly and off key? No. I mean, yes, I do say sing it strong, even if it's wrong. It's okay. God doesn't necessarily care about your quality of voice. He cares about the heart. But what the psalmist is really getting at here is this is to raise a great shout. It's to raise a shout in triumph or exultation. Think of it as like a war cry, but with joy. We're rallying the troops here, and we are going to go praise our God. Let's go! Make a joyful noise. Maybe you're not truly gifted in singing. That's okay. Maybe you're not really sure whether the tempo is in 3-4-4-4-5-8-6-8-7-8, and your clapping is not quite on that. It's okay. We're here to praise God, and He wants to hear from the heart. He wants to hear that we, His people, the redeemed of God, are going to create such a war cry of, yes, let's go take this area for the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, let's worship the one true living God. Yes, let's go forth and be salt and light in this community. Those are the rallying cries that we need to be lifting up on a regular basis. I love comparing and contrasting as we've gone through. And one of the pieces that jumped out was Psalm 71:23. Compare and contrast this little part to what we've been through in Psalm 98. Psalm 71:23 says, "My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed." It's recounting salvation. It's singing for joy. It's shouting. It's being loud. It's directing praise to our one true living God. Isn't that amazing? Scripture, confirming Scripture. However, there's a big difference between Psalm 71 and Psalm 98. What is that difference? It's the style of psalm. You see, in Psalm 98 that we're in this week, this is an exaltation psalm. This is a psalm of praise. This is an enthronement psalm where we enthrone our King and our God. However, Psalm 71 is a psalm of lament. You may have to, in your lament, force yourself back to praising God. You may have to, as we look next week at these incredibly down moments of the psalmist's lives, which are real, you may have to turn your heart purposely to praise. The psalmist in Psalm 71 is praising God in the lament. In a lament. How much more our praise should be loud and strong in times of joy. Our last point this week. Join in what all creation is already doing. Join in what all creation is already doing. Worshiping. Worshiping. If we have to be honest, we've all been to church late from time to time. Okay, now this is not a lecture on church attendance. It's not a lecture on punctuality. But think for just a minute, okay? You've rushed to church. You're late. You kind of feel a little flustered. And then as you're coming in, you hear the congregation singing. And your heart starts to soften, and all the stress of being late starts to melt away. And that song that you know, you start to sing before you even get into the door. You ever had that happen? And as you start to join with other believers, something powerful is happening. You hear the music. You enter in. And with brothers and sisters in Christ, you worship. Now, I want you to think for just a moment, pause on that. I want you to think of a time you entered into a beautiful spot in the forest. Maybe it's the mountains. Maybe it's a valley. Maybe it's a meadow. So wherever. Maybe it's your own backyard. The trees were singing. The rivers clapped their hands. Birds sang. The sunshine was dancing on water. And you just entered into that beautiful moment of what creation was already doing. Worshiping. Worship. When we join with other people in worship, it is powerful. When we join with other people, we say, you know what? That we are far better together than separate. We are far better when we join together because we encourage each other, we build each other up. Our praise is loud. There's accountability. That's good, by the way. We should be real with one another. honest, open, teachable. There's so many benefits of gathering together. Isaiah says it this way. Sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, O depths of the earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, O forest, and every tree that is in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob, and he will be glorified in Israel. There it is. The earth breaks forth. The mountains break forth. All the trees sing forth. A few weeks ago, we went up and we visited. Caleb is up this summer at the YMCA camp in Snow Mountain Ranch near Winter Park. And he's loving it up there. He's working up there in the IT department, and he's doing a program with the Navigators Ministry, so he's learning discipleship and evangelism. And he had a day off, and so we went as a family and on this little hike and up to this beautiful falls. Now, it's a drought year, right? And so the falls are not exactly roaring. But as you got close, you could hear it. And the further you got, and this 20, 25-foot little fall, because of the drought, actually just made this beautiful, quiet, almost reverent sound. Just splashing. Now, compare and contrast. When we were living in Wisconsin, there was one point that we went camping at Patterson State Park. You guys may remember this. And if you remember, the day before, it had rained, I don't know, 7 inches or something like that. And all this water is trying to drain. Now, Patterson State Park, there is Big Manitou Falls. That's the largest falls in Wisconsin. It's a 165-foot drop. And normally, it sounds pretty impressive. But on that day, because of all of this amazing rain that came, trying to drain into a small area, it was deafening. You get onto the trail, and the further you get, you're thinking, where are we headed? I mean, you almost can feel the earth rumble as the water shoots across down the 165-foot drop, crashing into rocks. It's beautiful. It's awesome. Have you ever heard the rivers clap their hands? Have you ever heard the trees whisper, the pines whisper, the leaves rustle in such a way that you stop and you just behold the glory of God? You know, it takes us pausing from our such a busy schedule in order to hear what creation is doing. Creation is crying out in its song, and its song knows that it's able to contribute to God. Nature echoes and reverberates with joy, and God's people are called in to join in anticipation of the great King that will return in glory. Just as the heavenly hosts cry out, "Glory to God in the highest," when Jesus was born, we're to continue that ongoing praise. In fact, nature should remind us that God is due the praise he is currently receiving from nature. And that should cause us to join in. See, God, the Creator, the Redeemer, King of all the earth, will restore everything to himself. All of this reminds us of that. You know, this week we've had a few assignments through this series, and I want you to, this week, look for intentional ways of joining in worship. Look for intentional ways of joining in worship of our Lord Jesus Christ, of the Lord our God, our Creator and our Sustainer, the one who created you, the one who saved you. Remember salvation. Look for ways to join in what creation is already doing, praising God. Find a place to listen. Find a place to just look and join in. You and I are called, we're even created, to worship our Creator and our Savior God. You and I were created for this very thing. Will you join him this week in doing that? Will you look for intentional ways? Will you ponder the salvation that you have been afforded and share that with someone else? They need to know. They need to join in too. You see, this is not an exclusive party. Anybody can join in praise. All are invited, but you have to respond. Come join. You're created for this, to worship the one true living God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this beautiful invitation. Thank you for your reminder in creation that you call us to praise you. May we praise you because of the salvation that has been given through Jesus Christ. May we praise you because we have been redeemed. We have been bought at a price. And that can never be taken away. Oh God, this week may we praise you, whether we feel like it or not. And may that spill over into sharing with people the good news of great joy that is for all people. We love you, Jesus, and we pray in your name. Amen.
Please stand with me. You are God in heaven, and here am I on earth. So I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you. And I stand in awe of you. Yes, I stand in awe of you. And I let my words be few. Simplest of all love songs, I want to pray to you. So I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am. In awe of you. amen. Have a purposeful week of worship and praise. And I stand.